If politics makes strange bedfellows, then the politics of wartime alliances can make the strangest bedfellows of all. Observers of U.S. actions in Afghanistan differ over just how strange or beneficial an alliance with the Northern Alliance might prove. Two views now, from Michael McFaul of Stanford University and Joost Hilderman of Human Rights Watch. First, Michael McFaul, who's in California. The groups that are in the Northern Alliance used to run things in Kabul. They made a hash of it, and they did so brutally. But you think that they can or should form a government once again with U.S. assistance?
Well, they barely ran things in Kabul, as you quite rightly point out. They were not much of a government. They fought among themselves. And really, the Taliban took advantage of anarchy throughout Afghanistan to take over. And it was a rather peaceful takeover, by the way. That said, I am confident that we, working with the United States and with the United Nations, the Northern Alliance should form the new government of Afghanistan, because without that, Afghanistan will be ruled by terrorist, Islamic fundamentalist, extremist elements of Islamic fundamentalism, the Taliban, which in my opinion are no different from Mr. bin Laden.
Joost Hilderman of Human Rights Watch, you would agree or disagree with that?
We strongly disagree. We think that providing unqualified support to the factions that make up the United Front would send a signal to these factions that they can continue to act with impunity should they come in power again, and as they are fighting their way to Kabul. So we are extremely concerned and think that some discrimination should be made, and no support should be given to the worst abusers of the past era.
What then would be the qualified support or the discrimination that you would use?
Well, the United States should first of all not support only the United Front, but if it supports anyone, is to go for a broader coalition that includes people who do not have such an atrocious record as some of these commanders do. And secondly, it should make any aid to the United Front factions contingent on these factions excluding some of the worst warlords like General Dostum and others.
Michael McFaul, I gather you would like to see U.S. aid to the Afghan people actually go through the leadership of the Northern Alliance right now.
Yes, I do. And let me say, first of all, I agree that there are the warlords and Mr. Dostum, of course, first and foremost, at some point in time have to be accountable for their actions. And I'm grateful that Human Rights Watch has documented it. But right now, without General Dostum, he's an Uzbek leader in the Northern Alliance, and without the fighters of the Northern Alliance, there will not be an opportunity for the broad coalition government that should one day take over with United Nations assistance. And I think the king should be involved. There will be Taliban leaders, Pashtun leaders that have to be involved. But to get to that point, we have to get rid of the Taliban first.
Do you, though, actually have hopes that the Afghanistan, if things work out as you hope they would, that is to say, if the Taliban is replaced by a government of this sort, that Afghanistan would be a far freer, more democratic, and a vibrant place than it has been recently?
Well, it can't get much worse than it has been under the Taliban, in my opinion. And if you go back in Afghan history, there have been moments when there was a freer, more secular society. Abdul Raham's leadership in the early 20th century was a model of a kind of secular, something akin of what you had in Turkey at the turn of the century with Ataturk. But it's not going to happen unless the entire world, the United Nations first and foremost, and the United States is there engaged to make it happen, because otherwise it'll be anarchy over and over again.
Joost Hilderman, from a human rights standpoint, would you share any of Professor McFaul's confidence about the Afghan future?
No, I think you know, the Taliban have a very bad record themselves, so there's no question about it. But to replace that regime with a regime of these warlords that is going to be equally bloody is counterproductive, and is going to recreate the kind of situation in which the Taliban entered in 1994 and on which Osama bin Laden has thrived. I think we're just going to see a repeat 5 or 6 years down the line. We need to prevent that.
How concerned are you, Joost Hilderman, that in this campaign against the Taliban, and more broadly against terrorism that might originate from the region, that human rights concerns generally are going to be put on a back burner right now, whether it's the Northern Alliance or whether it's Uzbekistan or whoever?
No, we're seeing it happening already, and it's a very serious concern. And it's typically something when alliances are forged in times of emergency that this happens. But I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot in the long term by not placing human rights concerns squarely in the middle of strategic considerations.
Michael McFaul, as the Northern Alliance is pushing south toward Kabul, can we say, look, you over there and that group over here, out. We don't want to see you in a future government.
Well, frankly, I'd like the Afghan people to make that decision, not us. The only way the Afghan people will ever have an opportunity to do that is when the Taliban go. And the only way that warlords like General Dashtum will come to justice is under a freer democratic society in Afghanistan. And that will only happen if we're engaged in the process. And I believe that means right now, allying and assisting those that are against the Taliban.
But surely if General Dashtum were to, in some way, or his people were to provide some material support right now to the cause that the U.S. is backing, do you think he'd be brought to justice later on at the end of all this?
Well, he actually represents a small minority ethnic group, the Uzbeks, within Afghanistan in a free and fair election with the king, parliamentary assembly. I think that is the best way to deal with a warlord like him. The big difference between the first time they took over and the second time, I would hope, is that when the first time they took over, there was no international observation, there was no international engagement. As the gentleman that Ann Garrels interviewed said quite rightly, we just left and went home. We can't do that again.
Michael McFaul of Stanford University, Joost Hilterman of Human Rights Watch, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.